everyone, and welcome back to the third episode of Social Flux with me, Paige Tomlinson. Now today on this episode we've got two best friends in, Josh and Michael, also known as J Disco and Dad, and we're going to be talking about how they started their joint Instagram, Instadiggers. Enjoy. So lads, welcome to the third episode of the Social Flux podcast. How are yous doing?
Not bad, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good.
Not too bad.
A lot
so
warmer
we've got now, A little bit warmer
than it was before. I'm freezing out there, innit?
I know, I was professional as well, and I was late, wasn't I? So, left you outside for a bit.
It's all right.
People outside thought we were like Uber Eats drivers or something.
Yeah. But with no food. Yeah.
Trying to get
still
in.
Still stood there.
Just stood outside with candy.
So we've got Josh and Michael. You're known as J Disco and your dad.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's just go a bit about your backgrounds, really. Like, how did you get into DJ? And
yeah.
Where you are today.
Yeah, so it starts like literally about 10 years ago, really.
It'll start with how we met, innit, really?
Yeah, it's when me and you met, weren't it?
So it would have been bad format.
Yeah, in about 2010.
Well, 2010, yeah. We used to do this night, like a student night called Ground Zero.
Yeah.
Based on some gaff in Ibiza that was on like the West End. It was just like an indie night on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Didn't know how to DJ or not. Like, we were just playing. Press and pause and play and all that, just playing indie tunes. I think he came to one of the events and then we just got to know each other on a Thursday and then
started ruining me apprenticeship on a Thursday night.
We were both on an apprenticeship, like both from Heighton. We're both on like this apprenticeship scheme in Heighton. And like I didn't go into work on a Friday for like about 6 months. I don't know, like I managed to keep my job at all.
Yeah. I didn't get kept online. They let me go.
And that's why you're the DJ. What was the apprenticeship in?
Business administration. I used to have to do council tax applications. I was 16.
And you actually chose to do that in an apprenticeship?
Do you know what though? Like when I was in school, and same with Josh, when we were both in school, we were both into like music and art and stuff.
Yeah.
But our parents have obviously gone like, go and get a career.
I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah, sorry. But my mom is as well, to be fair. It's like, go and get a career, do this,
shout
do that.
Out.
And it's like, what's happening, mum? Yeah, so we went down that path and then we both realised when we started taking our jobs that we were into music more and going out more and just partying and stuff. And I think the first time I actually thought I want to give DJing a go was when we started going to Circus. Well, when I started going to Circus, first time I went with Josh, and it was in like 2011.
I think I like invited you to come, didn't I? Because like I'd been going, I didn't miss like a Circus for like about 2 years. I think I went every single one from 18 to 20. And then when I met him, like we got talking, and then we started bonding over some album, the Black Keys Brothers album. Like some indie album. Anyway, we were speaking. What was it back then? Like fucking MySpace or something.
Yeah,
we had to swear by
it. Was no, it was BBM.
Yeah,
it was BBM.
BBM. So, yeah. So we were talking on BBM. BBM. The Blackberries
with the brothers, Black Keys.
Yeah, BBM. Talking on that, I think I just said, like, I've been going to this night for ages, Circus, it's boss, do you want to come to it? Yeah. It was the first one that you went to, Laurent Garnier one, was it?
I think it was the Laurent Garnier one, yeah. And I just stood at the back. This is before it got like the what was it called? The mask at the time, wasn't it?
The barfly
before it got like the whole makeover. I was just
because I used to go to Circus as well, but I'm a bit younger than you, so you're probably going like from the very first one.
Yeah, this is like 2010, 2011. Yeah.
So where was the very first like venues? Because I used to go when it was like in the Camp and Furnace.
What's now called the East Village Arts Club opposite Largo on CSD.
It
used to be called the Barfly when we first started going, and then it got changed to the Mask.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And it was like this old amphitheatre inside, so it was just a DJ booth at the front, and then
Actually used to be a theatre, like years ago, where they used to operate on people, and like people used to look over the balcony and like see how they were doing the operations and stuff.
Operate on people.
Used to do it like an operation in front of people, so like other doctors could learn. Like
I didn't know that.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Some facts, yeah.
That might just be like an old bag. <real or something. laughs>
Someone
told me that in Circus.
That's not true.
Is it true?
I used to go around Circus telling everyone, just go, hey.
You don't want to hear that at 5 a.m.
Imagine
the bed
like, hey.
Someone's like that. I'm the first guy, and I'm like, hey, lad. People used to operate there when he's DJing.
Hey, they took his heart out there.
Still blood on the walls.
They were smelly walls, them, though. Proper sweat dripping off.
Sweat dripping, yeah. Like then, places like that.
You started to get closer after going to them, didn't you?
Yeah. And then I got my first Dex, like CDJ 800s.
Silver ones.
Yeah, the silver ones.
What makes did you have a little Behringer one?
I had a little Behringer, yeah, is that what I say?
Behringer, like the Behringer 750.
Yeah, I had that and it was shit. I used to DJ. I mean, Nan wouldn't even let me have the fucking music on loud, and I'd just be playing like
silence.
The same like four tunes on repeat. And I'd be like to Josh, come to ours, we'll have a mix. It's gonna be sick. And we knew about 10 tunes. And we just played them back to back for
CDs.
Ages.
Was it CDs?
Yeah, it was CDs, you've had to burn CDs and everything.
We're old.
Oh my god, you're old.
We're old, aren't we? It's unbelievable. That's a real DJ. And then that happened, and then like fast forward a few years, we obviously started, we were better at DJing, obviously.
Well, I wasn't asked about DJing at all. He was getting more into it, like he loved it. Like he used to like drum and stuff in school, didn't you? So I think he's more into music than I was. I just love music as a fan rather than wanted to like get into it as like something to do as a career.
Yeah.
And then I think you're like 2 years ahead of me really, aren't you, in terms of DJing wise?
Not anymore, like, but at the time, well, maybe a year ago, yeah, Josh is well better than me now.
But then we started our own event in me called Static.
Yeah.
Must have been about 2 hours.
Really? So how old was you then when you started like your own event?
I was 20, I think.
I think I was like 25.
Yeah, I think I was 23. And then it was Josh.
It was me and our mate, Adam Harnick.
Yeah.
I've known him for years. I met him in Ibiza in like 2010. And then I was working up in Glasgow. So was he, and we both had decent jobs, and we had enough money to front our own events and that. So we just started putting the events on and had him as our main residence with our other mate, Phil Fearden.
Mm.
Was it a good event?
Well, me and Adam went to Berlin in like 2013-14. We met this fella, David Fair. He was like on like Steve Lawler's label and stuff like that. Yeah. We just got speaking to him in Club the Visionaire. He was just like, oh yeah, where he's from, Liverpool now. And we were saying, oh, we know David Glass, because David Glass is one of our best mates.
Mm.
He's like, oh yeah, I know David Glass, I speak to him on the internet, and like we'd meet you, send each other tunes and stuff like that. So he's like, well, why don't we put a party on? We can get you over, and like we'll put a party on with you, and we'll get Glassy to warm up, and it just starts from there, really.
Yeah, I think that was my first proper gig as well, like proper one. I had DJed in front of my mates loads and loads of times, but not really in like
venue. Proper like environment. Yeah,
I just got thrown in at the deep end. I was warming up for him in 20.
There was meant to be a freeze on, was there? A freeze event?
I think
on,
so.
It was meant to be on somewhere, and it got cancelled because Circus weren't happy that they booked one of their DJs.
Oh,
politics!
Circus booked one of their DJs, whoever it was, I can't remember now, and like that got cancelled last minute. So we'd already sold a few tickets, and then everyone who's meant to go to freeze come to our event.
Just turned up,
So we had like 300 people in kitchen seats, and like there was like an hour wait to get in. Yeah. We had to like stop letting people in.
Oh my God, that was your first event as well.
That was my first gig. We had all
these like tellies doing like static on like old tellies and like 3D glasses and all mad stuff.
It was funny, wasn't it? And like it was fucking sick, and like it was literally going off the whole night, and unfortunately they had to, we assumed that they'd like let us stay open. I mean, Johan's an absolute, a lovely fella, and back then we didn't know him, and we thought we'd be like, no, they'll let us, because it's full, they'll just let us stay up until six or something. And then like it got to four,
not happening.
He was like, you're getting kicked out. And we were just all like that going, why what do you mean? First event thinking we were fucking big balls, but so that's how that started. And then after that, like more and more parties kind of followed and started booking people like Man,
I still weren't DJing at this point.
No,
like,
you weren't DJing.
I didn't DJ at any of the parties that we done, because I wasn't really asked about it.
Yeah, you were just in it for like,
I was just going
music
to Attic every weekend.
Yeah.
Like Attic back then used to play like indie stuff and shit like that.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's boss like, but I reckon there could just be more to it. And, like I just bought decks just for like having a laugh and hours on my own.
Yeah.
And I was like proper into disco music, and no one really has played disco music apart from like James Morgan and the Magnum and stuff like that. So I was like, Aaron again asked the person who was managing the bar in there, just said like, why don't you just give him a chance or whatever, and they said, yeah, Sam, come down on Friday. And then just started from there earlier. I was in there every Friday.
And that was the Attic?
Yeah, I've just been in there every weekend since.
Oh,
until, like,
God, and RIP the Attic.
RIP the Attic, yeah.
I know, go to the bar.
Falling out for the homies there.
Yeah, got all over my face. I'm absolutely devastated.
Yeah. Same, you know? Like, we played in there quite a few times,
like, together.
Yeah,
we played your 21st in there, didn't we?
Yeah, my 21st. And then the night that we were playing, that was the night that I first met Laura. We always remember that night, and we're like, remember when me and Josh were playing? And it was just like a proper special night when we were playing. Yeah. So, and I just can't believe it's closed. Like, watch us think about that, like, that it's closing.
Like, give it a send off as well. That's just like proper heartbreaking.
Yeah, that is the worst thing about it, isn't it? Like, it's if under normal circumstances, even if it was getting, you know, sold off for development or whatever, you'd then have the opportunity to give it a proper farewell.
Because I think like the last time I played in there, it was just like a Saturday afternoon, you had to be closed by 10. Yeah. There was about three people in there because no one was going out.
Yeah, it was like
was
safety
shit.
Distance,
so
wasn't
just,
it?
Like, I didn't even realise at the time, it was the last time I was playing Natta, because I would have started playing like, you never walk alone.
started
waving a white flag.
Oh yeah, unbelievable. But yeah, so
because
like,
you lived in London, didn't you? You've only recently moved back up here. So the last time you went to the Attic probably was like ages ago.
It was probably.
Well, wouldn't it have been Get Down when I ended up jumping on spontaneously? Do
yeah, it might have been that. So right before I moved to London, Josh, well, I got booked by Tom to DJ in the courtyard. Is it the roof? The roof in it on the courtyard.
Yeah, the terrace.
And he asked me to play, and I was like doing the first set, and I was like, Sam, whatever, I'll just bring whatever tunes and some chill tunes. But I had like a little backup folder just in case I got asked on later.
Yeah.
And then it got to like midnight, and Tom went, like, just jump on till the end. And I was like, yeah, go ahead. So I just started smashing it. It was fucking rammed. And then Josh
I was
playing upstairs.
And Josh was playing in there, and because his set had finished, he just came down, and Josh went, come on, let's just go back to back, and we played until the end. And that was one of my favourite. Actually, one of my favourite sets that I've done in the city. And it's not like I've done quite a few almost for good DJs, but that was just dead good, I thought, because me and him are best mates. So to play back to back together in front of like that many people, it must have been about probably, I don't know how many you get on there, but it was just rammed, you know what I mean?
And when you play like back to back with someone who you know and you know their type of music, it just proper gels, doesn't it? And it just makes it like so much more better.
Yeah.
Like I've played back to back with a few people and we just haven't gelled, and like all through the back to back I'm like, oh, this just like isn't how I want it to be going, and I'm like wishing they just play a tune.
It's like two separate sets when it's not gelling, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's like one tune.
You're just in a different wavelength completely.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good that he's the best mate and that went well. But you went down to London. Why was it that you went down to London?
Well, basically, my girlfriend Vespa, she is.
Oh, he's got a girlfriend.
Single
ladies.
5 years now, guys. Gonna have to start proposing soon, aren't I?
Well, Jesus, single bears will switch off now.
I know, it's those ladies.
I'm single.
She's sorry, fellas, as well. She's good looking. So basically, we met at university, and then I was like, I'm never leaving Liverpool. Liverpool's like my one and only, never gonna leave. It's the best city in the world, which I still think it is. But yeah, I just thought, I got to a point where I was like, you know what, why not try a different city? Like, I've been here all my life. I feel like I'd pretty much done everything I could probably do in Liverpool in that time. And I was just up for a bit of a change. And then she was like, let's just move to London and see what it's like. And I went down there, got a job there, and then was just living there for 2 years. And I really enjoyed it. Thought it was sick. Like, anyone who says London's not a good city is chatting shit, because it's the capital of England and it is a really good city. There's so
is
much
it
going
the capital?
On.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the capital for the reason. Yeah. I don't know what the reason is, but your capital's always going to be good, innit? So, like, I love being there. And then, obviously, I just moved back for because of COVID and everything. My job's like, I've been lucky enough for my job to say, just move back to Liverpool if you want. So that's why I'm back. But I think I'm going to be here for the foreseeable now. And hopefully, when all these restrictions are lifted, be able to do like loads more fun stuff after it.
Yeah, because London's just a totally different vibe, isn't it? Like, you can go out any day of the week.
Yeah.
Like, you can just listen to any music that you want. Yeah. Like, I'd love to have the balls, really, to be like, right, I'm going to move down to London for a bit.
The scene's amazing there, but the thing is, like, you go there, like me, because I was in Liverpool and people knew that who I was in Liverpool for DJing and stuff like that. Yeah. So I moved to London thinking, I'm going to get a few gigs here, like, see what happens.
Yeah.
Didn't get one. I think at one gig, spoke to so many people.
It's so hard.
It's saturated. There's just so many DJs in London. If you think you're a DJ, there's going to be 50 more people who are doing the exact same thing. I went there with high expectations and then just kind of had a bit of a slap in the face and was like, oh, actually, you need to work a lot harder to get a gig in London. And there's, we know people now, don't we, who've from Liverpool have done really well in London. Like Danny Mac, for example, he was fucking smashing it, doing loads of boss parties in London. Like, fair play to him, he smashed it. He's a great DJ, like, but didn't quite work out for me, and I was just like, fuck it, I'll just come back to Liverpool and work on my own.
Do you say the music more in London now?
Yeah, they do.
People just want to go out for a good time rather than like what's actually being played for them.
Yeah, there's that element to it.
Yeah, I was talking about this on the last podcast. Like, we were saying in Liverpool, people just go out, they don't care, like, they just go out for like that cringy tech house music. Like they don't really give a fuck about the tunes and like go around to listen to like what, new tunes.
One thing I do like about like the current Liverpool scene is like it's all young lads just putting events on for themselves and booking all their mates.
Yeah.
And they're all giving each other a chance, like all local DJs, which is boss. But at the same time, I went to an event where Steffi, like Panorama Bar Resident played, and like three people turned up. It's just like, how can that like not sell out? But then like these 20-year-old kids,
who are
doing like their first ever gig, sell out. Like props to them, like it's boss. But just a bit mad, innit?
Yeah, you can't really slate them for that because we're not slating them, but like it's just one of them, and it's disappointing when you see like great artists come to a city like ours, which is renowned for its music.
Yeah, and no one turned up.
Ashanti Celeste and Octa night, like 50 people turned up.
Yeah,
like anywhere else in the country or world, I reckon that'd probably sell out.
Yeah, straight definitely. Like I think after lockdown it'll be different because everybody will just be craving to like for a bit of music and to go out. But before that, there was like because. Everybody wants to be a DJ and everyone wants to run an event. Like each weekend it was like there was like five different events on and people like nothing was selling out and it was just dead and it'd break your heart when you'd go and you'd look at the people who are running and you'd think, oh, they've put like everything into this and to just like
going in debt.
Naughty.
Like going into pure debt for it.
The events we were putting on, like the first few were all lockouts, sold really well, but we didn't even break even. I don't think any of them.
Still lost money.
We lost money on everyone. We just putting the money back in. Just unless you're taking some of the bar, you're never really going to make money. Yeah. I don't think. But
so from you doing your first event, like what came of that, and why did you stop? And
just money, really. It was just costing. Like you're losing. Me and Adam were both losing like probably a grand each on every event, and like you can't really keep that up over a few events. Like, but after that, I wasn't even DJing still at this time. Like as I said, I started DJing later than that, and then that's when I started putting on the club discos and stuff because I was thinking the music's alright here, but like I reckon that you could have a club vibe. I hate that word, but like you know what I mean. You could have a club feel to the music every week, whereas normally you have to pay for tickets to go that type of music in like Kitchen Street or whatever. But then I was making sure I was going back to back every single one once a month with like local DJs. Like obviously,
they were amazing.
I think we had done six, and all six were like locked out completely.
And there wasn't just like the typical like disco tunes you hear everywhere. It was like tunes you'd never heard before, and that's the reason I go out to wear tunes I've never heard before.
Same here. Like that's why I started putting the events on. I was thinking Liverpool's missing something here, especially Liverpool hasn't really got a club. It's got venues such as Kitchen Street, Constellations, which has now gone RIP again.
Pouring a little liquor.
Cheers to the
end. It's going to end up all on the floor.
Pouring
them all out. Invisible Wind Factory and all that, they're not clubs, the venues. Yeah. We haven't got club that is every single week. Not since
Got Mansion, lad.
since Garland's maybe closed down or
I suppose you could say
G-Bar, but you haven't got a club where DJs come every single week from out of the city.
Yeah,
and you've got residents. Me and Ollie Press, one of our best mates, he owns the Bolton Market, Independent Liverpool. We've been planning on opening a club for a while, but with everything that's going on, it's probably going to be a few years away. But that is the end goal, and that's what I wanted to start to implement into Watford to try and get that feel. Without sounding blowing smoke up my own arse, I think I turned around the way Attic was viewed.
Yeah, 100%.
It started to become a thing where people wanted to go every week. And when it wasn't club disco, you could tell it just wasn't as good on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And every club disco was unbelievably.
Yeah.
And I was obviously Paige has been smashing in Liverpool, but Harry Goldburn, he's a boss DJ, but at the time I was thinking I'd rather get young lads on who are coming up now and get them on back to back and try and give them a chance to play out as well more, and then you end up getting a residency in Attic as well. That was one of the aims of starting.
Another place as well that I wish was around was the Magna. That was just a place where you could just go every weekend. Yeah. Sometimes you just didn't even know who would be on, what would be on, you'd turn up and it'd just be tunes.
My first gig. So
was
I think I'm pure hogging the
I had a good go in here, that's fine.
My first Josh Boyd, who runs Modular, they were doing a Easter, I think it was Easter. Remember when it was in the Kaz Garden? Easter Sunday, but like usually they play like minimally tech housey stuff, and he wanted a different vibe, so he was going to open this can. Kind of, cherry something. Getting bladdy. they just wanted a different type of music, and like he knew that I played disco. Well, I haven't played out yet, but he said, like, do you fancy doing this? It's your first go. Right, yeah, go ahead. So I just played like 3 to 5, whatever, in the middle of the day. It was busy. And Connor Smith, who runs Movements, was in there just because they were about to do their first Movements event, well, 2 months later. I didn't know Connor, like, even though we're both from mine, I'd never met him or whatever. And then when I played, I got an Instagram message off him, like, 2 months later, just saying, like a month later, sorry, just saying, like, oh, I watched you play in Modular. We're doing our first event here, and you smashed it. That you're the type of music that we type like to play.
Yeah.
Do you want to play our first movements? And I've played like pretty much 80% of the movements since, and that's really what started to get me into DJing and thinking like, well, I'm actually alright at this. You know what I mean? I might as well get into it.
Yeah.
A little fire hazard there.
What, your tunes?
I like the never.
I know. I was looking at that before, thinking that is not lit.
That's what happens when I play tunes.
Smoking. Go on, carry on.
That's just like, because Connor got me on a movement, so I was like, I love this. Like, this is boss, because like movements are always always busy. And the first one was in Cash Garden, it was sold out. Then the after party was in Magna. I think Hustle, like Disco Fest, had the Fist Tank booked for Jamie 326.
I remember that.
Like it wasn't that busy, but like Movement turned up with like 300 heads, and we're having a bit of like back and forth between who gets to take the over the main room, and eventually Movement got it.
Yeah, I've got a huge following.
Played to like a locked out Magnet on like my first ever gig.
Unbelievable.
I just didn't know what to do, so I just played like all the house classics you could think of under the sun, like Kings of Tomorrow, Fanny, and all that.
But it went down.
300 people, it was just like, oh my god, this is the best ever. I was like, I'm definitely sticking with this DJ thing.
So obviously, you've run Insta Diggers now. How did that like come about?
So this was when I was living in London. And every single day, pretty much since I've known Josh, we've sent each other tunes all day, every day. Like, we talk to each other. I talk to him more than my girlfriend, I reckon. But like, she's like, you talking to Josh? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you're never off your phone. I'm like, I'm talking to Josh, all right? Josh, shut up. We always send each other tunes, and then I was like, both of us came to like this idea. I was like, well, I'll tell you what really pisses me off. What wrecks my head so much is when you've got this like snootiness about music, where you've got DJs who are like, I'm not telling you what this tune is. It's all for me. It's like, fuck off, mate. The person who's made that tune wants people to know who it is.
That does my head in.
Every single mix I do, I post the track list all the time.
I've started doing that because people message me, and then he ends up like forgetting it. And I'm like, oh, we'll get back to you. And then I think, rather than doing that, I'll just post the track list and everyone will know
the whole point
the tune.
Of music for me is sharing music. Yeah.
Imagine I made a tune and then went to everyone, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. don't tell anyone that's my tune, alright? Want it to be a big secret. Don't want anyone to find out who I am. You wear a mask. Fuck COVID, I'll have it on all the time. But that was the whole point of it. And I was like, look, between us, we know quite a fair bit of music, I think. And I was like, lad, let's just put a tune up on Instagram. And people might enjoy it. Like, if people don't enjoy it, we'll enjoy doing it. We'll get a little kick out of it ourselves. And then, we just started posting tunes.
Then every now and then, we'll get, like, not just, like, local DJs or people who might not be DJing for the first time or whatever, but we'll get, like a quite established DJ's messages just saying, like, oh, by the way, we played this in our set or whatever. Like, I always use your page as reference to put music in my set.
Like, I must have half your tracks that you put on there in my Discogs want list. I'm like, add.
The reason was because he was living in London as well, because after we played that Attic gig together, he moved off to London, and like, we were both dead sad.
We needed some way to
connect with each other in music. We couldn't go back to back together, so we used Instagram.
Back to back on Insta.
Whatever, the format.
So we've just been doing that for what? Is it nearly 2 years?
2 years.
About 2 years now, doing Insta Diggers, and then we did a few parties as well. So I'd come back from London every so often, and we'd throw like a party with our mates who, like Paddy and Alex at the time when he was in 3B Records, and they were like, just come and play tunes. So we've done it a few times, and that really went well.
Oh shit, it was Tom Lithgow from Radium Lab.
Oh fucking hell, yeah. Honourable mentions to Tom Lithgow, the lad who runs Radium.
So one of my favourite DJs in the city. Like,
he's, how old is he?
don't know, about 23, 24.
Yeah, he's a quality DJ, and he just plays like records I've never even heard of in my life at like 140 BPM, and they're always like unbelievable. And he's just dead calm on the deck, and you're like, lad, you're good, you.
He hasn't paid us to say this, by the way.
No, he hasn't. He's getting it all for free.
He's actually boss, yeah.
Enjoy that.
He's got a crop dish and put us on his Instagram.
Yeah, because I would as well. I'm going to do it anyway.
Crop that bit, I'll
do it. Nah, but yeah, so like he was fucking boss, and then we were planning on doing more and having guests on and stuff. And then again, the last one we did was in the Kaz Garden. It was right before COVID. I caught COVID that weekend. I think I did.
Shanzi and Saoirse played in Meraki.
Yeah,
the last weekend. Oh,
I remember that actually.
Yeah, so yeah.
I didn't go because I just had an operation, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I got told.
You couldn't stand up.
I couldn't stand up. I had to sit down. DJ. I wasn't meant to be on the house, but I was pure dedication.
We were playing back to back, and he was sat on a stool and was like, "Lad, I'm gonna get off my back." I
have fucking incisions on my stomach.
I know.
I'm fine, by the way, guys. I'm all good though.
Glad everyone's made up.
But he was like, you're not really meant to be around people because you're at high risk to COVID because you just had an operation.
Yeah.
So they were all gone, and I had to sell my ticket. I was absolutely fuming.
Yeah, but I don't know why I didn't go in the end.
Oh, I reckon that's the best night I've had out in a long... Well, it is the best night I've had in a long time.
People had COVID in that because like that was just...
Like peak, prime time.
That was peak COVID.
No one really knew what it was, or and I was in bed dead for the whole week afterwards.
So all the rains then, weren't it, COVID?
Oh, lad. It's fucking top notch, you know.
Back then, mate, it was a laugh. COVID was a laugh.
I know. Nearly 2 years later, and here we are.
Oh, honestly, I can't wait for this shit to move away and just get out of my life. I just want to be back to normal and play some tunes to people, to be honest.
See, I feel like everyone's life is like proper pause, but like you've been working really hard. Mm. Obviously, since coming back from London, you've obviously had like a little kickstart, and you're like, right, I need to like get my ass into gear now and make some tunes because you've released like quite a bit since you've come home.
Yeah, so like when I first moved to London, I think partly what Josh said as well, like I'd be DJing all the time in Liverpool, and then I didn't have that outlet because no one wanted to book me. Now I'm joking, but obviously I didn't know anyone, so it was really hard to get my foot in the door in London, and I just thought, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to make some tunes or try and make some tunes. So I've been producing for like 2 years. I say producing, I still, to be honest, if someone said to me, show me how to make a tune, I'd be like, don't really know what I'm doing,
no,
to
I
be
bet
honest.
You can. Obviously, like your just, tunes are like up there, the fucking top tunes.
Nice one, but... Like, yeah, I don't know. And Josh says to me, he goes, when are you going to show me how to make a tune? I'm like, lad, I don't feel like I'm in a position where I can tell other people. The last thing I want to do is teach someone bad habits or something, because I've not learned off anyone else.
Are you a Logic or Ableton?
Yeah, Logic. Yeah. I'm going to say this now. I don't think there's a difference. Do my tunes sound like they've come from Ableton or Logic?
No, to be fair, they don't.
Like, exactly.
I wouldn't know, but like, I've had to go with Logic, and oh my God, I can't get my head around it.
Yeah. See, I'm the same with Ableton though.
Really?
Yeah. I look at it and I'm like, this is
whatever
like...
whatever one you use first.
Yeah.
You just fit to it,
so like, before I moved to London, obviously, I used to do the Oscillate thing with Mark McAvoy and Mark Williams. And I used to watch them produce in the studio all the time. So I just like, I think I just took it in just by watching them. So then I finally got to London and I was like, I'm not getting any gigs. I'm going to make some tunes. And then 2 years on, I finally feel like I'm in a position where I can release some music. Started releasing tunes on my Bandcamp last July, I think, and just randomly, probably quite cocky really, because I don't know how good my tunes are, but I thought, I reckon this is good tune, I'm going to send it to Moxie, like my favourite DJ, just plays NTS and that, and within like 10 minutes she replied and was like, got to play this on my next radio show, and I was like,
new email, who's this?
Yeah, I was just like, I was just like sitting there shaking, like I'm not messing
with a spam folder,
body was shaking, and then I was like sitting there, she didn't play the following show, and I was like, she's not going to play, and
she's
like,
running every week like
yeah,
that.
I was working from home, and she played it, and like I nearly vomited everywhere. I was like, oh my God, this is my shit. And then I was just like, yeah, fucking hell. And then I was like, you know what? That's the kind of confidence boost that I needed to crack on with it then.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've released like 3 EPs since, is it like November last year or December? I did one that came out like last week, Bandcamp Friday, so the 5th.
Feel like every time I go on Instagram, it's like, you're announcing like another EP,
I need to slow down really. And then, like, I sent that again to Moxie and Saoirse and like, a bunch of other DJs, and then Saoirse like emailed me back, and I was quite surprised, to be honest, because I feel like, well, both of them, they're really good, aren't they? And they're the last DJs that I actually watched, like, in person. And she was like, these are really good. Keep them coming. Really exciting. And I was like, that's not just like... Yeah, decent tune. It's like
a
Radio 1 DJ going, keep sending me tunes. These are really good. So yeah, that happened. And then in the space of time, I've had one's just come out today, actually, at time of recording, which is the 12th of February. One's came out today on a Welsh label called Andrus Records. So I've got to give them a shout out, really, because it's a boss EP and it's for Muslim Aid UK. It's going to charity. So that's a really good cause.
That lad who does the art, is that his label?
No, different one. Toby, his name is, this lad. But he's got some boss artists on there. And yeah, I've just had one signed yesterday, officially. I've got, like, signed a contract for one that's coming out in spring for the VA. I don't actually know. When's this going out?
This will be out 15th of April. Yeah, 15th of April.
Oh, the EP will probably be out then. So that's like Phrase Records, which
not
is
really dressed for 15th of April here.
No,
it's got the water shorts and flip-flops.
So that's going to be out sometime around the same time as this podcast, I think, for Phrase Records, which is boss, because like they're a sick label.
Yeah.
Some of your favourite producers on there, didn't like Nathan Pinder. And now I'm in talks. I don't want to give too much away. I can't really say any names or anything, but
go on.
I can't.
Lee Butler. Leeds. Lee Butler's birthday.
No, because not on some paper, but I've been chatting to a couple of people.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's all happening so quickly because...
Yeah, same. I feel like I've got imposter syndrome, to be honest with you. Like, I don't feel like I should be doing what I'm doing. I feel like I just sit there fucking eating chips and watching Match of the Day, making tunes on the couch. I shouldn't be getting vinyl records getting released, you know what I mean? But
no, yeah, like I need to start, you know, like I say, I've been producing, but like, it's just so inconsistent. Like, I'll go on it one day and then I won't go on it for like weeks. It just like proper does me head in.
Well, that was me at first. But then I thought, I was getting proper fed up with lockdown as well. I needed something to do. And I literally just go on after work and I spend like, I mean, Vespa must hate me. I'm either WhatsApp and Josh.
Like, you're dead consistent with it. Like,
yeah, I'm every night.
When I've got spare time, I'm just thinking, just want to watch like the fucking Sopranos.
But the thing is, it's because like once it clicks, it's like when you first start DJing and you're like, I'm good at I can do this, and you're fucking buzzing, aren't you?
Yeah, once you know what you're doing, you've got like a little idea of what you're doing.
So I just jump on there and it's exciting to create sounds, you know what I mean? It's like I wrote a tune the other day in like 4 hours and it's the fastest I've ever done one. Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck? And that's the tune that is potentially getting signed for like later on in the year. So I feel like I
just make excuses for myself. Like, I'll be like, right, it's Monday, I'll have a little rest tonight. Yeah. Tuesday, oh, Liverpool are playing tonight.
Yeah. I don't produce when the Reds are on.
Yeah, I'm
not. Singing Craig David. I'm the same.
I had a little rest on
Monday.
I was making the beach on Tuesday.
Fella Kip Wednesday. That's your first release. Do a little after that. We'll do the vocals.
I'm game. Good to ask. All of us now. Oh, we can't wait. COVID.
I was speaking to Johnny Holmes. I was saying, like, I'm not going round to his tomorrow.
I am not going round.
He's lent me his 303, but what he did was he threw it.
Learn how to do music in his via Zoom, if anyone asks. But he said that you might be going at some point.
He messaged me and he was like, come down, we'll make some tunes. So hopefully.
He's just throwing him under the bus, yeah.
Busy in the rain as I was. That's all right, it'll be sound in April.
Yeah, we went in April.
Yeah, I'm going around in April. Two vaccines and we should
But Josh, you've started like a new project of yourself, DJs Against Hunger. So why did you start that? Like, what's your
put on the back burner for now at the minute, because like I'm in uni at the minute studying music, audio production, so I'm trying to learn music. Ooh. But I'm taking the long way around, like trying to learn all the theory and that. But I haven't really done anything with this since before Christmas early, just because I've been busy with uni. But yeah, I just think like with the lockdown and stuff, like there was obviously a lot of stuff in the news about kids like fucking like going without food and like kids skipping meals, and especially the other week, like that thing where like kids were getting scranning like little money bags and shit like that.
That was terrible. Absolute joke.
So I just thought like DJs Against Hunger, I was thinking if I just do a mix and then nominate a few people You still need to do your own
I was just speech. About to say, oh, I'm proper slamming with that.
Get in the naughty corner.
I'm in the naughty corner. Yeah. I still need to do that.
Yeah, just nominate a DJ and then donate money and then they'll nominate DJs and hopefully it'll just like carry on going. But like, yeah, put
hopefully
it on the back
by April when this comes out, yeah. I'll have done it.
Yeah. To be fair, I do need to pick it back
up. Yeah.
Best mix of air than April. Oh, yeah.
That's makes April. April.
April Fools was bossed the other week, wasn't it?
Fucking sick. And you played Glastonbury as well.
Oh my god, yeah. Fucking
what
hell.
The hell was that like, please?
It was like fucking.
Did you say it was Sam? I was alright.
I know.
Michael Evers messaged me on Instagram just saying, like, you're the best DJ ever seen. I was like, oh no.
Headline in the pyramid.
Do you fancy playing on the pyramid stage? Mm. I went, nah, it's a bit big for me. That. Nah, they put a competition up just saying, the Rum Shack in Glasgow, some like gaff in Shangri-La just said,
no one fancies playing it. Do you want to come in?
We can't book any DJs. Is there anyone shit out there who fancies playing? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, but I'm busy in April. Put a competition of just saying, like, what if you got the chance to play Glasgow, what tune would you play and why? And I picked Ten City, That's the Way Love Is. And I just said, because it's fucking sick. I can't remember what I put, but like, they had like three slots, I think. And they picked me to play. Got an hour in Shangri-La, boss. Just before the Chemical Brothers and like hundreds of my mates turned up, because like it was shut in the day Shangri-La, so like no one would have been there usually. But like hundreds of my mates turned up, like swerving people. Jungle were playing.
Really?
So everyone went to swerve. Everyone went to see Jungle. Swerve Jungle and came to watch me instead. It was fucking boss, like.
Yes.
Unbelievable, just surreal, to be honest.
Yes, J Disco.
Oh, yeah. He didn't turn off though, did you?
I never had a ticket.
Oh, another one.
Never had a ticket.
In the naughty corner.
Message me saying sorry, but.
Message, I was buzzing for, I was sharing it all over my social media.
I was only playing it, you.
My socials, as they say.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. I went there. I never had a ticket. That was
no,
most
I didn't.
Thing ever.
I was I really did want to go and see him, and I was like, right, come on, because I was like a massive group of people, so I was like, right, come on, we're gonna see
it's
Josh,
hard.
We're gonna see
it's
Josh.
When you're at class,
and then we were literally the other side, and
yeah,
I was like, I don't even
walk,
know how to get there by myself, so I'd probably get lost.
Yeah.
Mad like the other lad who won as well. It's called Josh from Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah. From Liverpool
maybe
as well.
Maybe just picking Josh's
from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I never won that.
Yeah. Just you,
name change
it?
Next year.
Come on, my name's Josh Davis. There's my new tune, but don't tell anyone who it is.
So, Sparta Radio, we've all got shows on Sparta Radio, haven't we? What are they called again?
Sound Alliance.
Sound Alliance.
Serve It Up.
Oh, I think of the name, innit?
But, well, the thing is, I thought of Serve It Up, and then I was like,
your buzzwords and just thinking.
There's a tune that like me and a few of my mates, like Chris McGee, he loves this tune called Save It Up by Clyde. And we played it when we used to do like parties and stuff. And I used to always play it. It's a boss tune. And I couldn't think of a name for a show. And I was like, Save It Up sounds good. And then...
That is such a good
But
name.
It's dead funny because the first time I recorded, there was a lad in front of me and he does that like dinner one. And I was sitting there going like, man, it just sounds like it's a fucking food one, doesn't it? Like, I'm going to get on and just start talking about what I've had for my dinner. Like, but yeah, I called it Save It Up. And yeah, I think I've been a bit lazy, mate. I missed out the whole of January.
Yeah, I missed out December, and I was like, right, like, I need to get in now. You was like, I'm going to
do
one every week.
Radio show on Friday.
He went to me, Josh went to me, lad, I'm joining Sparta Radio, you should join. I'm doing it weekly. And I was like,
I've done like three.
I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. You know when he went, lad, I've got enough tunes. I was like, no.
As soon as he told me he was doing it weekly, I was like, I could not turn up weekly, honestly. Like, it takes me, sometimes I want to miss a month because, like, I'll say it, I've not got
playing
enough
the tunes.
Tunes
sound,
like,
but like, I've got enough tunes, but, like, thinking of what to say. Like,
there's a point, isn't there, where it's like, you're going to play tunes, but if you play too frequently, everyone's going to know every single tune that you've got, and when you're going... When you find a DJ out, everyone's going, yeah, I've heard that one on the radio.
Yeah, I know.
Heard that one on the radio. I'm getting off.
I have my tunes ready, but if I'm playing, like, every month is sound, but every week, it'd just be, like, the same tunes, really, because, like, when I prepare a gig or to play, like, prepare, like, a radio set, I sit down and I look for tunes that I like and I want to play because I don't just want to play, like, tunes that I've already played. So it takes me a proper, like, lengthy process to get the tunes, so I just
I feel like
play
with the
week.
Radio as well, like... No, this is better the radio, but I feel like when I'm playing tunes on the radio, that's not I save like my tunes that like I think, oh yeah, I'm not really that bothered about them. I'd save all,
save your specials,
all the good ones that like I'd want to play out. I've saved them for like not the radio because I want to save them for fucking boss moments.
Yeah, I agree as well. And I feel like my next one, I want to do something special. And like some of the tunes I want to play are just tunes that you can't really like mix together. Like they're not the type of tunes that you can. So I'm going to have to do what you've done in the Beatles one just and, you know, like speaking between.
Yeah. I quite like that format.
It's good though as well. Like, especially if like you, if there's a bit of history behind the tune or there's something interesting about the tune, especially with the Beatles one I've done. Like some of the covers and that, there was a lot of stories behind the tune. So like it's good to stop and then just have a little break, speak about what the tune is, where it came from or whatever.
I find that
quite interesting as well when I'm listening back to other people.
Yeah, because you do want to hear it. It is hard speaking on the radio though, isn't it? Like I feel like podcasting is different. Like I know what I'm saying, but as soon as I press like
when
play
it's just
on the
you
radio,
and the mic
I'm like,
as well, it's a lot different. Like, hard, like, and the, his ears having a conversation.
I get proper like all up in my head about it and start panicking. I don't know what to say. So I signed the last show off with Stay Safe Bitches. And I was like,
the first one, I
thinking about it all week, going,
what
the fuck am I saying?
Stay Safe Bitches.
I put everything in my phone for the first one.
Thank you. I just
did you appear on my first one? Was you there?
Yeah, out of the blue. I was there when you recorded the first one.
What did you say? You said something.
I got on and went, what's good, Merseyside? And then I was like, sound like one of them fucking weird knobheads on it. Yeah. Shout out Lee Butler. He came to the party.
Never met him, but fair play.
What's he even look like? I don't know. staple DJ in Liverpool anyway.
I feel like my first one though, I proper overthought it and I was tripping myself up.
Yeah.
I was like pausing and I listened to it back and I probably sound like a robot.
Yeah. It takes ages to get used to it though. Because when I used to do shows on Melodic, like before I moved to London,
you're a little radio professional.
I'm not. Like I used to listen back to myself and I'd be chatting shit. There was one. It was when we were still doing the.
It's harder on Melodic as well because the camera's in your face.
And it's pretty professional on Melodic. They've got like all mad equipment and that. And I was doing the label stuff and we had one of the artists in Subtoy and I came in and I'd been out on like a day party, so you can imagine the state I was in.
Yeah.
And I walked in. And like everyone's going, don't go on the mic, stop going on the mic. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna go on the mic, it's gonna be funny this. And like his name is Subtoy, and I was like, you're listening to Subtoy live at Melodic Distraction. And everyone was just like, what are you doing? And I was like, get off in a bit. Just walked out and left. But yeah. But luckily the guys at Melodic, they like me. So
speaking of Melodic.
Actually, we've got news. We're doing a new radio show as well as our Svara ones. We're starting an Instagram one on Melodic Distraction.
Are you cheating on Svara?
Yeah. It's not like that. But the thing is, like I was speaking.
Because it would have been mad as well if we'd done our own individual ones on Svara and then a third one together on Svara.
Yeah,
there's a lot of content in it. Yeah. Just those two all the time. So I was in contact with the people from Melodic and I've always like been quite good mates with them. And I was just like, you know what, let's get a new show on the go, like for me and Josh. And they were just like, Took a while because they've been so busy, but they were like, let's go. And I think our first one's on the 5th of March, but we still haven't got a name.
I haven't even thought about any tunes because
like Instadiggers is like just the platform to share music on Instagram, but that's not going to
be need
the
duo,
we're
really
DJ under. We're going to need to think of a DJ name like for both me and him,
just have a look around the room.
loads of buzzwords
together, like
I was thinking
Social Flux, but someone's so
looking around like it did look good that one, but I can't use that anymore.
It's hard, isn't it?
Canon, camera, nah, it is hard. I don't know.
Where did people come up with these ideas?
Do you know what? Like I was saying in like my first episode, I've got like a list of in my notes of like words I like. And is that proper weird?
No.
That's weird, isn't it? Like if I come across like a word, I'm like, I'll just jot it down. And that's where Social Flux comes from.
What sorts of words are we saying here?
None of your beeswax.
What's your favourite word?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
No, we need some inspiration.
Yeah,
need some inspiration here.
Mine's April.
April 1st.
Mine's Lee Butler, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to do Lee Butler as well, weren't you? But that's
I feel like a fucking asshole, mate. Like, I don't know. I feel sorry. Sorry, Lee. Sorry. I apologise.
little dribble.
Yeah,
there we go. That's us, little dribble.
A little mix, but Lads, we always have a dribble. We've been talking about that a lot lately. Getting old, aren't we? Having a little dribble when you go come out from the bathroom.
Little dribble on the deck.
Oh, that is God. A
city. It is. I reckon it's little dribbles just been born, lad. Coming at you.
Yeah. These things just come out of nowhere.
Little dribble coming soon.
But yeah, we're all massive Liverpool supporters, aren't we?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Not anymore, like we're shit.
I mean, let's not speak too soon, because by April we might be doing well.
Like we're in the league,
we might put it out the bag.
Potentially, we did last year. Fucking hell. No, yeah, it's killing me off a little bit, but what can
I feel
do?
Like if we don't win, if this is not our season,
I'm happy with
it. It will be next year.
I'm happy again. For it not to be our season, though. I don't want us to win. We're not going to win the league, but it's like, imagine winning the league 2 years on a bounce when there's no fans in the stadium anyway. That'd be shit, wouldn't it? Yeah. Like, I'd rather us
no
come back.
Is there.
No.
We've
just,
done
it. Just waiting.
We did it last year. We didn't even get to celebrate it.
We've not even got our parade yet.
No, we're not going to do it, are we?
No.
So, like, next year, I reckon if we come
can
back.
Can't we do parade now after this shit season?
Nah, you can't. Yeah. I could be fucking shit.
You already had that fucking
not
parade.
Even a real trophy.
You already had that parade at the live buildings.
Yeah,
really?
That'll do.
Yeah, that was the night.
In April.
Just have Klopp with the fucking Klopp with one of those little plastic ones. And since you've got the real one. Nah, yeah. I reckon. I've made peace with it. City are going to win the league, I think. I just want us to get top four at the minute.
Shining,
I'm bad with it. And then if we can win the league when all the fans are back in the stadium, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be even better. I don't even want to win the league.
I was stuck in London. We won the league, and I weren't planning on us winning the league that night. We didn't like we did, and I was like up till 6 a.m. and had to work the next day. I had the meeting at 8. Sorry, boss. And then I was just like, fuck my life. I can't believe it, but. The adrenaline of winning the league got me through the day, even if it was like the other end of the country. It was sick. It's a bit shit now, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get there. Don't want to win the league, do we?
No.
We don't want to.
We're in the Champions League.
Done that.
Instead.
Yeah. If we play Kabak, like, I don't think he's getting played.
Champions League and fourth would be sharp.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just to finish the show off, just a couple of like. What?
That's your favourite way, isn't it?
Yeah. I preferred little dribble, to be honest. I reckon that rolls off the tongue as much.
Just a couple of quick and fire questions. So, your favourite venue in Liverpool?
I know mine. Mine's
one that's still going, or?
Any? One that's still going,
still,
and one
still,
that's
still going. Definitely Kitchen Street, like, and then before that, just Magnet.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think mine's Kitchen Street, and I think it will be Kitchen Street because that was my first gig, and I've all the best nights out I've had in town.
You just can't beat Kitchen Street when it's full.
It's the fucking best. Yeah. That disco ball's been punched so many times. Love it.
The amount of times I've seen someone swing that and I think,
you shoot yourself, don't you?
When we first started putting events on there, like it did not look like that. It was like a proper building site.
Yeah, it was heavy, wasn't it?
Like definitely weren't health and safety there.
Couldn't play my tunes too loud. In case it fell down.
And we dropped all balloons from the ceiling.
Oh, that's a good memory actually. When we booked Jabali and Red Adair. Like Jabali's like a fucking DC10 residence. We booked him and Aaron was like, Aaron like his brain doesn't work like anyone else's. And he was like, there's a trap door there at the top and up there. What we're gonna do is we're gonna get loads of balloons with lights in. We're gonna cut all the lights off. And I was like, this plan isn't gonna work. What are you on about? Anyway, it sold out and then the lights all just went off as the DJs were playing, and everyone like in there was like, what's going on? And then like we opened the trap door in the ceiling and loads of balloons with lights and shit came down and everyone was just having it and slapping each other with balloons.
Oh my god, I didn't even know there was a trap door.
Yeah, up the top.
That's boss.
Boss.
Next question. Most memorable night?
Oh. That's
the
hard.
Most memorable ones, if you usually can't remember them because they were that good.
For me and you, it's got to be Luciano in the mask.
Oh yeah, probably, yeah. Luciano back-to-back with Carl Craig in the mask.
Yeah.
For Circus. But Carl Craig done a warm-up set in 3 beats to about 50 heads.
Mm.
Like, they're just like two of the fucking best DJs of all time. Like, it was just unbelievable. I think there's an old video floating around on YouTube somewhere, them playing Ultimate Free.
Yeah.
But this was like, what, 2000?
Like the whole, the whole club. This is like, cameras weren't even that good on phones.
You didn't. Really? If you had a phone.
Yeah, like BlackBerry's and that, weren't
they? Most of them didn't have a camera on them.
Yeah. There's a few grainy videos floating around and like,
it's like
the
whole,
it's like
5 pixels.
There's like 2,000 people in a room and like everyone's just singing it, having it. The lights are flashing in your face and there's some videos of me knocking about on YouTube, but I don't want to I don't want to resurface, but never
going
to,
I am searching for that after we finished.
18-year-old boy off his tits. No, yeah, unbelievable that night. That's the best. That's probably my best night out ever, actually.
I think everyone who went as well says the same. Every time it pops up on like it's what Facebook
kept me,
memories and shit.
It's
like
what
that,
kept me excited about dance music, yeah. I think, because like this is what I want to keep doing and keep going and keep.
You can't really beat them all, sir.
It motivates you, doesn't it? Doesn't like after a weekend and you've had like a proper boss weekend at an event and you're like, this is why I'm in it. This is like what I want to do.
Outside of Liverpool, though, Bergheim, the first time we went there.
Yeah, we went to Bergheim together.
Fucking hell.
Really?
I can't believe we got in.
And I was going to say,
I absolutely bombed it.
No, yeah, so he's like, we get up there.
I can see why you'd get in. Like, you just look like a proper, like.
We read up on it and we like, we wore all black and all the shit.
Yeah,
like that,
proper at the top, not at all.
He's going to Bergheim tonight.
And all the Bergheim shit. But like we went like Sunday afternoon, which is I think why we got in, because everyone queues up on a Saturday.
There was no queue at all.
Because all the tourists going like on a Friday and a Saturday and they don't get in.
And we know where Bill is.
So we went like Sunday afternoon, like 2 o'clock. Wasn't any queue really, was there? We walked straight up.
Big scary. We went how many in
German. And we learned how to say two, please, in German. It was like, just fine.
Yeah. Really? And he was like, how old are you? And Josh was like, 21, 21, well, 21.
Here's my passport. Just got my passport. I was like, that. I'm 21,
and
I'm 21.
Went in and we were in there for 17 hours. You know what I mean? 17 hours. Stint.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
That is one place that I'd love to go.
Oh, it's mental. There was like people walking around naked. Like
me and him.
People on leashes, fucking the maddest stuff
little,
ever.
Doing little dribbles walking around.
Little dribble was in there.
Little dribble naked.
Yeah. Oh yeah, them two, so, I think.
And then that London night we went to was sick.
Oh, Shanti, Saoirse, Moxie and Peach.
Yeah, the first ever SAS event, so as them three, as them four as a four.
Yeah, so on loop birthday.
Where was that?
I can't remember the venue. It was the on loop birthday. Yeah, and it was unbelievable.
Anyway, it was sick.
Yeah.
Boss, yeah, I definitely need to get one of them on loose. I've been to the one that they've done in Glasgow.
That was like unbelievable.
Yeah, man. That was sick.
And yeah, in the park.
Yeah.
So good, though.
Fucking boss. One track that never gets old for you.
Oh, that's so hard. That is so hard.
To be fair, probably for me, it'd be the one that I played at Glasgow, Ten City. That's the way love is.
This is hard for me.
But there's just so many, to be fair, in different genres. It's impossible to pick one.
There is
like.
So many.
The thing is, the one that always pops into my head, and it's just a bit of a... It's not even the best tune ever, really, but the one that I always...
Craig David,
7 Days. I reckon Boo Williams. What's the tune called, Josh? Boo Williams. You've got me now. Can't remember. It's a Boo Williams tune. Sorry, podcast listeners. I can't remember the name of it.
But yeah, you can message him and he'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too hard. There's so many tunes that float, like, whiz round in my brain, to be honest.
I'm shit with names of tunes. Like, yeah. People
you
ask
know
me.
What? I am.
I just know where they are on my USB. I know exactly where they are.
Boo Williams, make some noise.
There we go.
Fucking sick, sick tune. Just proper housey and bouncy and just, like, just gets me going. Gets me going every time, you know.
Gets me going.
Gets me a little dribble every week.
So yeah, if you could pick one dance floor now that you could teleport to, where would it be?
Panorama bar, definitely.
Yeah. Panorama.
Naked, yeah.
Panorama bar.
It's just like the way you go to Glasgow and there's just something that you can't put your finger on. Why Glasgow is better than any other festival you've ever been to?
Yeah.
That's what it's like inside Bergheim and Panorama bar.
Yeah.
It's just an atmosphere that like you can't describe and you won't get anywhere else in the world. Like in a
like it's Glasgow for me, 100%. But I've not been. I've not had any to go.
Oh, Glasgow's better than Bergheim.
Oh yeah,
got,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, better.
Yeah.
Let's go to Glasgow.
Like, NYC Download. NYC Download. You're not beating it, really.
No, yeah.
Best club of the year for 4 days of the.
Next time you go, just spend the weekend in there.
To be fair, NYC Download's better than Panorama, definitely.
Yeah, I did try and get in, but the queue to get in there every time.
Just get a muzzy on
you. I know. Well, we tried to like bunk the queue, and then everyone snitched on us.
Oh my God, same happened to me.
Well, to blow smoke up my own arse, but I've been to every Glasgow since like 2010. And like the first time I went was like with my family and like their mates, and they'd already been for years and they knew that you'd have to take a muzzy. So the next year I went, and every year I've been since until last year.
I used to buy
the fake muzzies off like fucking Amazon or whatever. Mm. You just pass them out through the fence, everyone get in. But like last year, they
and can you just walk in then?
Yeah, but then last year they cottoned on and started doing different coloured muzzies for every day, so they'd know.
Oh, that's fucking
I'd only
pain
buy the black
ass,
ones,
then,
obviously.
Hello.
Nah, yeah, gotta be Glasgow.
Yeah. Good. And is there any quotes that you live by?
No, what, there isn't, but...
If not, there's a book behind you.
I, Right, I've got one here. I came prepared. Here's one I whipped out earlier. So I did, if no one knows, I did English literature when I was at university. And we read this poet, Walt Whitman. And I was just looking through his quotes before and I thought, especially now, this is a good one. Keep your face towards the sunshine and the shadows will fall behind you. That's lovely, isn't it?
That is lovely.
That's just about being positive and looking for the future and finding the best and stuff, innit? And I think I'm going to make that my little motto going forward. Yeah. We found it half an hour ago.
Look into the sunshine.
It's nice, isn't it? Look towards the positives in life, I reckon. Yeah. Well, them
dickheads. Because I'm huge at looking at the negatives. Like, I need to stop every day.
I've been terrible for it.
Yeah. I just look at the bad things and I'm like, oh, well, I'm not doing that.
I don't know if you found this in music, but, like, I don't know about you. You feel like, I know I did, I got all up in my own head about it, going like, I wonder why no one's turned up to watch me DJ here, all these different things, and you get up all in your own head, or like, why didn't these people come to our events and stuff like that, and you're like, do people just think I'm a bit of a wanker?
They're always messaging me saying,
everyone knows, I don't mind, I don't care. I don't care. I do really. She's like, are you WhatsApping him? Because I can't get a word in here.
I get up in my own head like all the time.
That is a real thing. And like it's just like insecurity, and it really you think. But I reckon you just gotta keep your head down and keep doing what you enjoy doing.
There's DJs that tour the world and like there'll be no one that turns up to like the odd gig and that. Like you just gotta fucking carry on.
Yeah, that's it. You just gotta carry on doing it.
As long as you're not shit, just carry on.
Yeah.
If you are shit, carry on as well. Because you'll get better.
If you enjoy it, then fucking.
That's what it's all about. It's just about enjoying yourself.
As long as you are enjoying yourself, then you might as well stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's my quote.
Pick a quote?
As long as you're enjoying it, just stick to it.
Well, that's his quote.
Trademark.
There we go.
It was in that book.
Was it?
I'll just do the first one that'll land on.
No, stop your finger.
Fortune always favours the brave and never helps a man who does not help himself.
Fair enough.
P.T. Barnum.
That's true as
well. I've actually got that tattooed on my back.
But yeah, lads, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. I've had a ball.
I have as well.
For having this. It
has gone quick.
I
haven't shut up, sorry.
Thank you.
Still light outside because it's April.
Gonna go and jump in the fucking lake on Sefton Park.